But I thank you that I will teach it simply, that everyone here will understand what I'm saying. They will take it, they will apply it in their life, and they will get results. Father, we thank you for your anointing that's present in this place that removes every burden and destroys every yoke. And Father, I thank you tonight, God, just for your anointing that's present in this place to cause people to see things that they haven't seen before and to cause people to understand things that they didn't understand before. And Father, I pray just like Elisha prayed with his servant, Father, that you would open up our eyes tonight. Father, I pray that people's eyes would be open to see things the way you see them, Father. In Jesus' name. Everyone agrees with me, said. Amen. Amen. All right, I got a question for you tonight. How many of you have ever been frustrated? I'm not done yet. I see some of you like, oh, yes. I wasn't finished my question. And so, how many of you have ever been frustrated trying to figure out what God's will is regarding something? Anybody? You're allowed to put your hand up. You're allowed to answer here. I mean, we're not taking... How many of you ever, like, wonder, like, how in the world do I hear God's voice? Yeah, how many of you have ever heard somebody say, you know, well, God told me, and they're like, well, okay, like, how did he tell you that? Like, you know, did he just, like, suddenly appear and say it, or, you know, is it just like, or what's wrong with me? How come I'm not hearing anything? How come God is telling you this, but I'm not hearing this or understanding this? Or how many said, you know, someone said, God told me this, and you're kind of, you're like, what do you mean God told you? Anybody with me? You know what I'm saying? Am I talking to the right crowd tonight, or do I need to go look for somebody else to preach to? That wasn't really too enthusiastic. Am I talking to the right people, or do you need to go find somebody else to preach to? I mean, how many of us you have wanted, you I think God told me something, but how can I be sure if it was really God or not? Anybody ever been there? See, I think these are all questions that we all struggle with, that we all face. So what I just want to do tonight, we're going to do some teaching and just some preaching on how to know if God's talking to you. How to hear God's voice. How to understand what God is saying to you. How to understand what God is trying to communicate to you. Now, does that sound like something that would apply to people here? You got? All right, good stuff. Okay, let's make sure we get our cell phones and pagers off. And somebody was beeping there. So, all right. So anyways, let's go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. Now, who knows? What have we been talking about the last number of weeks in church? What have we been preaching on and teaching on? Now, listen, I don't want to be fighting you all night. You're allowed to talk back. So see, if I ask you a question, it means I'm looking for an answer, at least for most of you. So what have we been teaching and preaching on the last number of weeks? Yeah, we've been talking about knowing God and having intimacy and closeness with God, right? And see, I mean, what's our number one priority in life? What's our number one priority? What should it be as believers? That's right, to know God. Our number one priority should be to know God, to have closeness with Him, to have intimacy with Him. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, I count all things lost compared to the greatness of knowing Him. And see, how many of us can be like Paul tonight and can say that? But the question I got for you tonight is, let's go to Hebrews 8 verse 11. We'll read that first. This is God talking, and it's quoting what He spoke prophetically in the Old Testament. He said, and they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizens and everyone his brothers, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. Everybody say, all will know me.
All.
See, God reveals it to us very clearly through His Word that His ultimate desire is that everyone would know Him. Not just a few select people, not just really spiritual Christians, but He wants everyone to know Him. He doesn't just want some people to tell others. You know, in the Old Testament, they'd have prophets and they'd have kings and priests. And they were the ones who heard from God, then they would turn around and tell the people what God said. But see, when we entered the New Testament, and all of us, we could be born again, then God's desire was to speak to each one of us. Now, He still wanted to speak, He still will speak through, you know, prophets, or pastors, or evangelists, or apostles, or teachers, or through other people. He will still speak through other people. But His number one primary method, He wants to speak to you. He doesn't just want to speak to somebody else for you, but He wants to speak to you. And see, He said in His desire, He said, I want to know, for all will know me, from the least to greatest. Why don't you say it again, all will know me.
All.
Now here's the question I got for you. How do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them? Okay, but let's dig a little deeper in that. Let's say me and Andrew are spending time together. So come here, we're going to spend time together for a second. Hurry up. So we're spending time together. Are we really getting to know each other better, very much? But well, like I'm getting to figure out what his shoulder feels like. That's about it. Yeah. So how? I mean, what else besides spending time together do we have to do? We have to talk, right? What's the best way to get to know somebody? You talk to them, don't you? You have to speak to them. And see, if we want to know God, we're going to have to learn to talk with Him. And see, how many of you know, because see, you know what, where a lot of us live right now? It would be like me and Andrew. I'm trying to get to know Andrew, but all I do is talk to him. Come on, you ever talk to somebody on the phone like that? You know? Pick up the phone. Hi, how are you doing today? I'm doing great. You know what happened today? You're like, you're trying to get a word in edgewise, and they just keep talking and talking and talking. Are you really, if they can keep talking, are they getting to know you? Are they getting to know you? No, they're not getting to know you at all because they're just talking to you. So see, it even takes a step beyond prayer to really get to know. You know, when we're praying and talking to God, that's a good thing, but we're not really getting to know Him when we're talking to Him. You see that? You're not getting to know God better when you're talking to Him. You really get to know Him better when He talks to you. Because then you get to learn from Him. So see, if we've been talking for the past number of weeks, why it's so important to know God and how you have to know God, and knowing God has got to be number one priority, and you've got to have a desire, God, I want to know you more. But you don't have a clue how to listen for what God's communicating to you or how to listen to His voice. How many know you might be in a little bit of trouble? I'll try this side. How many know you might be in a little bit of trouble? You might be in a little bit of trouble. And so if we want to know God, we've got to learn how to listen to God. Amen? If we want to know God, we've got to put a high priority on learning to hear what God is saying to us. To learn to hear what God is speaking to us. To learn how to understand what He's communicating to us. And so, see, God showed us that He said His desire is that we all would know Him. But it's impossible for us to know Him if we don't listen to Him. It's impossible for us to know if we don't learn to hear His voice. So it is, we must develop the skill of communication with God. So, you know, communication is a two-way thing. Amen? Yeah. Communication is two ways. And we must learn to develop the skill of communicating with God if we're going to know God. I mean, it's funny. We talk a lot about big spiritual concepts, but sometimes we never actually break down the nuts and bolts on what we actually need to do. So we're constantly just kind of out there stretching, looking for it somewhere, and we never quite get it, but we always look really spiritual. I don't know about you, I don't want to look spiritual, I want to be spiritual. And I just want to get the job done. Is anybody else with me on that one? Now see, so we got God's desires to know us. And so, think of the benefits of being able to hear what God's saying to you. How much does God know? He knows everything. Do you really believe that tonight, that God knows everything? He knows everything, doesn't He? So why do you spend so little time listening to Him? And why do you spend so much time talking to Him when you don't know very much at all? Come on, you ever noticed that before? Have you ever been in a situation, I know myself, I've been a couple times, you know, I feel like the biggest idiot in the world because I get in and I'm just impressed with how much I know about something. I start talking to this person and I just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. I never actually listen to them. And then come out of the conversation, I realize that they were like an expert and I didn't really have a clue what I was talking. You ever seen that happen before? But I mean, God's an expert at everything. Like, He knows everything about everything. I mean, He made everything. He understands how stuff's supposed to work. He understands how stuff's supposed to get. And He has given us the option and the opportunity to develop this relationship with Him where He wants to talk to us and teach us and show us things. How many think it might be a good investment for us to start learning how to hear what He's saying to us? Do you think God knows a lot about business and making money? How much time do you spend listening to Him for creative ideas and understand how to flow in that? How many of you think God knows a little thing or two about parenting? Are you listening to Him on how to parent? See, how many know God knows a thing or two about whatever major you're in college or university? I think He knows a little more than your professors, amen? You're frustrated. You get in a class and you realize, I remember one time, what was it? I think there was a teacher who was teaching French when I was in high school. The problem was she couldn't speak English. kind of has a problem. You know, it's just like, she could speak French great, but her English was really bad. So there was difficulty connecting with the students. But see, God knows everything about everything. I just want to get you excited tonight about spending time making the sacrifices, making the investments to learn how to hear God's voice. Because if you learn how to hear God's voice and you learn to hear what He's saying to you, then you have direct access to the being who knows the answer to any and every question you will ever face. Every challenge you will ever face, everything you will ever come up against, every problem that will confront you, He knows the answer like that. And so the problem isn't whether He knows the answer or not. The problem usually tends to come down to, have we invested the time and have we done what we need to do to hear it? Have we put the time in to hear from Him and to receive what He wants us to receive? I remember hearing a story. In the Second World War, the United States was really starting to run into a problem. Because they were losing ships faster than they could make ships. And the Japanese in particular were really taking out a lot of their ships, and they were causing a lot of problems with it. I mean, it was trouble. The ships, it was just bam, 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 and they're losing. Because the problem was it took a long time to make a battleship. So they were getting into desperate straits, and they were on the verge of starting to lose in the war. It's a little hard to believe nowadays because they're so huge, but back then it wasn't the same way. But there was a man who knew God in the higher ranges of the military. Oh no, he's a shipbuilder. And so they put out a merchant cry, said, we need to figure out some way. So this man went, he fasted and he prayed and he spent time with God. And you know what happened? Within a couple days, God showed him how to make the entire hull of a ship in one day. Where it took weeks before him. He put this into place and boom, it worked and they were able to put out ships and keep up with the demand, and it eventually was one of the keys to helping them win the war. But you know what? You know why he was able to figure that out? Because he knew how to listen to God. God knew the answer the whole time. See, listen, a lot of you are confronting problems and issues tonight. You're confronting circumstances and situations, and God already knows the answer to that. God knows exactly what you need to do. He knows exactly the steps you need to take. He knows exactly what you need to say. And it's not that He's holding that back from you either. It's right there. He's waiting to tell you. The problem is, are we doing what we need to do to hear what He's saying to us? Some of you are in jobs and in your workplace and so on. God has creative ideas and He has wisdom and all this stuff He wants. I mean, He knows how to do your job better than anybody knows how to do your job. But you're not listening to Him. You're not asking Him to show you how to do it. See, He's got all this stuff He wants to give us and impart to us, but we've got to do what our part in learning how to communicate with Him. He knows the... I just want you to catch this right now. I'm going to keep hitting you with this. God knows everything. There's nothing you run into that He doesn't know. So if you don't know right now, then go to Him. And instead of waiting until you get into a terrible situation, just keep going to Him and let Him keep feeding you the answers on stuff. I remember hearing another story about a field commander in Vietnam, and he was a born-again Christian. And what happened was a bunch of his troops were surrounded by the enemy. And the enemy had tapped their radio, so they knew everything they were saying, so they could not strategize because the enemy knew what was going to be happening. So this was a bad situation. The enemy was closing in on this whole troop of soldiers, and they were in deep trouble. So the commander stepped out of the communications tent, and he just began to pray in tongues, because he was a Holy Spirit-filled believer. So he started, shiko ba 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 shanda, he started praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, boom, he knew what he needed to do, because God showed him. So he went back inside, and he called out, he said, soldier, because remember, the problem was the enemy were listening to everything they were saying. He said, soldier, he said, do you know... did you go to Sunday school? He went, yes, sir, Sarge, or whatever it was. He said, okay. He said, what direction did the star come from with Jesus? Don't say it. He said, yes, sir, I know that. He said, okay, you head that direction with your troops. We'll give you cover fire, and we're going to cover, and you'll get you up. And they got all the troops out with not one dying. But you know what? He was in a tough situation, but he had learned how to hear God and get answers. But see, it takes time and it takes practice and it takes investment and it takes a desire to learn to hear God. You know what the problem with most of us is? We don't put the time in on a day-to-day basis. Then when we get into a hard situation, we're like, oh, I got it. God, what do you want me? And it's too much for us, and we cannot get what we need to get at that time. See, that commander was able to do that at that time because every day he spent time with God. And he learned to hear God's voice on the little things. So when God spoke to him about when they were in a hard situation, he just did what came natural to him. How many know when you work on something hard enough, it starts becoming natural to you? And see, then when you get in a different, but one of the keys when you're in competitions or when you're doing something is when the pressure's on, you tend to change, don't you? Yeah, if you haven't practiced. But if you've practiced, you just go through what you've always done and you just do it no matter what the pressure's like. I just think of basketball, for example. You know, I work on that jump shot enough, it doesn't matter, two guys could be flying at me, I just click into what I always did, keep my eyes on the rim and shoot. But you can watch someone that practice, because if anyone put any pressure on them, their form would go off, because they hadn't put that time in. And actually, athletics and science tells us that your brain actually has like neurons, and it actually trains your muscles. And if you do something enough, then it kind of locks into your brain, and you'll get that same form and that same motion for whatever it is. Well, see, in the same way, we can learn to do that with hearing God. We can learn to do that. God wants to talk to us. God wants to speak to us. But see, we've got to put a high priority on learning to hear from Him. We've got to learn to put a high priority on doing what we need to do so we can hear from Him, so then He can speak to us and give us the wisdom we need. I want you to catch this tonight. How many people in here know Jesus? You're born again, you receive Jesus, you're Lord and Savior. You have direct access to the Creator of the universe. Somebody say direct access. You have direct access. Direct access. You can talk to Him anytime, anywhere, any day, 3 o'clock in the morning. And He wants to talk back to you and give you answers for the problems you need. But see, your eyes have got to be, we've got to open to see this. And then it says, I just want to show you a couple of scriptures that God wants to communicate with us. God wants to. And I'm going to use that word communicate, because as I'm going to show you, sometimes if I say God talks to us, it can be deceptive. And what I mean by that is because I say, okay, God's going to speak to you, so you spend the entire time listening for a voice. You know what I mean? Come on, you know that's true. Well, and so it's just like, okay, you want to hear God speaking? So what do most of us want? What do most of us want? You know what we want? We want God to talk to us. We want to be like sitting in our bedroom, and all of a sudden, you know, thunder starts coming. All of a sudden, we hear this deep voice, you know, it's just like, Thomas, I want you to go to this school. And you're like, yes, Lord, yes. You know, it's just like, and see, it's just like, and so we're like, why? And then we hear about somebody else that happened to, you know, and they had it. Why can't that? That's never happened to me. I've never heard that once. And see, but when someone starts talking about God speaking to you, that's what we tend to think of, isn't it? Who said that? You know, it's just like, you look right. It's just like, who said, I remember hearing, now I'm not sure if this story is true or not, but I'll just tell it anyways, because I think it illustrates an excellent point. Someone I had listened to preach before talked about a prank they pulled on the guy in Bible college, because this guy was like super spiritual. You know, he just kind of floating around the halls and praying. So they thought, we're going to get this guy. Now, I don't know why your Bible college having a bad attitude like that. But anyways, so what they did was they snuck into his dorm room because they knew he prayed around a certain time each night. And they hid a speaker under his bed. And then they ran a cord into the next room with this speaker. And so then they got, and they listened through the wall, and they heard him praying, you know. And so let's just say his name's Michael. And so they're like, okay. And so they're listening, and he's praying, yes, God, well, I want you to speak to me. Da, 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 you know, just going on praying and stuff like that. So one of them got on the microphone and went, Michael. You know, but you can imagine, he kind of, I don't know, what would you do? I think I might run out of the room. I hear like that. And so he's like, what? And he's like, Michael. You know, so he was really spiritual. So he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, you know? And just like Samuel. So he's like, yes. And so they said, Michael, you know, so they start going on and they said, you know, I'm calling you. Yes, Lord. To be a missionary in Africa. And he's like, okay, he goes, you will die a painful martyr's death, you know. And he's kind of like, and so you guy here going, really? Oh, no, it's just like, he's like, you will never get married. right. So, you know, now, if you'd heard this story, by that point, you'd be looking at the bed. I mean, I'd be looking all over the place. They got a speaker in here somewhere. But they left him for 3 days. I know, it was very mean. And so he just, they could tell. He was just watching the next day. He's just upset. And so finally they went up and told him, you know, that was just us, actually. We put this in. So you can imagine that. I don't know if you would have felt relief or a desire to kill somebody. I'm not sure. But see, you know what's so funny about that is when we talk about hearing God, that's what a lot of us want. Or that's what a lot of us look for. So we feel like God doesn't talk to us because there's no booming voice. There's no bright lights. There's no, you know, thunder and lightning, and there's no visions, and, you know, a lot of us get into this. No, I want to see a vision. No one ever felt like that? Like, God, show me something, just like an angel or you know, just like something, just, you know. Yeah, I read about this guy, and he saw, like, these 2 front feet over the top of his car. He realized an angel was riding with him, so he was safe. And I see some feet or something. Can we do something here? Yeah, you read something like this, present darkness or piercing the darkness, and it talks about the battles of angels and demons. You're just like, can I just see it one time? Can I just see like an angel just smoke some demon or something like this? Yeah, but you know why a lot of us say that? Because we feel like, you know, I'd have more faith if I could see something. But see, when if we stay there and we park there, a lot of us are never going to become effective in hearing what God's saying to us. We're never going to become effective if we're looking for that, because that's not the way He does it. That's not the way it happens. But see, the first thing we've got to understand is that, actually, you know what? Let's say this. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Now, the first thing I want to get into tonight, and I could spend a whole night just preaching on this, but there's a little more I want to get to. But the first point I want you to get is God wants to talk to you. I'm going to repeat it for you. I want you to say, God wants to talk to me. And I'll take that step further and say, God is talking to me. See, God wants to and is speaking to you. I'm having trouble finding James. Everyone else found James ahead of me. All right. Watch it. I'll send you to Hezekiah. All right. Keep going. James chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, I mean, if God's going to give you wisdom, He's going to have to communicate with you, isn't He? So see, we're seeing a principle for getting wisdom here, but I suggest to you we're even seeing a deeper principle of receiving communication from God, whether it's wisdom, whether it's direction, whether it's comfort, whether it's what do I do, I mean, whatever it might be. This is a key for us to understand, and this is the foundational key. So if you take notes, I want you to like star this thing, underline it, everything. This is the foundational key of what you need to do. He said, it will be given to him, but he must ask in what? He must ask in what? In what? Without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let that man, which man? The man who doubts, ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now see, if we're going to hear God's voice, if we're going to receive communication from God, whatever you want to call it, the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get in faith on the issue. Everybody say, get in faith. And what I mean by that is if your attitude is, God doesn't talk to me, guess what? You aren't going to hear anything. If your attitude is, I just can't hear God, you won't. If your attitude is, it's so hard for me to understand what God's saying, it will be. Why? Because your faith is right there. You're believing that it's hard, that you can't, that it's difficult. But see, if we study the Bible, everything received from God, we receive by what? We receive by faith, don't we? Oh man, some of you are just a little, is this like too much, or are you just kind of, received by what?
Faith.
All right, quick, give me a volunteer. Trevor. So I was busy taking notes. All right. Now let's go. I want to show you something about faith here for a second. Okay, let's go to Ephesians. Come here, Chef. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So we're going to go there. See, because, you know what? One of the things I've been learning a lot is, you know, you can teach people doctrine. You can teach people theology. You can teach people steps. And you can teach people principles. But you cannot teach heart. And see, one thing I've been learning is that somebody who has a heart to know God, somebody who has a passion, you know, we're talking about hearing God's voice tonight. If you are desperate to hear God's voice, if you are just like, I have got to get better at this. I don't care what gets in the way. I don't care what happens. God, I'm here. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. Show me how to do it. I'm going to do it. You'll get it. But if you don't have that kind of intensity in your heart, I could preach you the greatest 3-step, 10-point message, whatever else in the world. I could give you all the theology, all the doctrine, and it wouldn't do you any good. Why? Because you can't teach somebody heart. Do you have heart tonight? Do you have a heart to hear God? Do you have a heart to get more attuned to what God's saying? Do you have a heart to be able to be a voice of God to your generation because you can hear what He's saying? See, if you have a heart for that, you'll get it. You know, and if you have a heart, then this stuff will just be like food. I mean, you will just eat it up. And then if you don't understand everything, you'll go to God, He'll show you more. But never underestimate the power of heart. Never underestimate the power of having a heart. The most beautiful thing, I mean, that's what God said about David. He's a man after my own heart. You remember we talked about that a number of weeks ago. And see, it's not what you know as much as it's the heart you have. God is pleased by our hearts. He's pleased by what goes on inside of us, our hearts, our desires for Him. Now what did I say? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Will I ever say, for by grace, you've been saved through what? Okay, now what saves you? Hold up. Let's read it again. For by grace, you read with me, you've been saved through faith. So what saves us? The grace of God. Or really, see, when we look at, if you look at grace, just break the letters down. God's riches at Christ's expense. So when you got grace, it was God's riches at Christ's expense. The expense He died on the cross. God's riches were made available to us. That's grace. So we're saved by grace, but how did that grace get to us? Through, I want to get to it. It came through faith, didn't it? So in other words, faith was like the portal or the doorway or the opening for grace to come into your life. You see that? Grace came through faith. All right, Trevor, go outside for a second. Now, let's just pretend. Trevor is grace. But for grace, / Trevor, to come into my life, he has got to come through the door of what? So grace, come through the door. So, by my faith or by my believing, it opened the door for grace to come into my life. Do you see that? Do you see that? So you see why faith is so important? Because faith is the door by which everything that God wants you to have will come through. Now go back out again. Isn't he doing a good job? Now, what if I choose not to believe? What if I choose not to have faith? See, because faith, I mean, sometimes we overcomplicate faith. I don't have faith. Well, then you're not believing. Like, when push comes to shove, I mean, there's different things we can study and learn about faith, but when push really comes to shove, Jesus said, I have faith like a child. Children don't understand all this theology and all this doctrine and everything else. So you say it, they go, okay, yeah, I believe that. And they just, they bank on it. I mean, there's some kids, and they fight you that Santa Claus is true. They would. They would fight you. They just believe it. Somebody told them they believe it. It may not even make sense. I hope there's nobody else in here who's going to fight me over Santa Claus being true. Don't want to wreck your head. Now listen. Now, God's grace wants to come into my life, but I'm not believing. Oh, no, God doesn't love me. God couldn't love me. God really couldn't. God, why isn't your grace in my life? God, what's going on? Where's your grace, Lord? I just don't feel it. I don't feel His grace. I don't feel His grace. If you're at the back, He's making faces at me through the window. It's like, I don't know. But see, what has to happen for grace to come into my life? The door of faith has to open, which, I mean, well, let's not get too deep on it. Faith is just hearing what God says, believing it, and then acting on it. hearing it, making a choice. Because you know, I let you hear stuff, I'll say something, you say, well, I don't know about that. But you're not in faith. God says that, well, I don't know if that's totally true. You're not in faith. God's word says, well, you know, yeah, but sister so-and-so, it didn't work for her. You're not in faith. See, and so if I want grace, then I believe, and for God's grace to come in my life for me to be saved, I believe that Jesus is the way, and I believe that He took my place, that I'm going to be born again by believing on Him, and by doing that, I unlock the door, face open, and grace comes into my life. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Now, let's change that for a sec, because that's how we got grace into our life. But you know what? We're not talking about grace tonight. We're talking about hearing God's voice, aren't we? We're talking about receiving communication from God. Now, based on James, what do we need to have if we're going to receive wisdom or communication from God? What do we need to have?
Faith.
Come on, y'all at the back. What do we need to have?
Faith.
We need to have faith, don't we? So now, Trevor is hearing God's voice. Now, hearing God's voice is going to come through the door of my faith. In other words, I've got to believe that God wants to talk to me and that He will talk to me before that door will be opened. So if I say, God doesn't talk to me, what am I doing? I'm locking it. If I say, it's so hard for me to hear from God, what am I doing? Come on, what am I doing? Come on. If I say it's just so hard for me to understand what God wants me to do, it's so hard for me to understand God's will, what am I doing? You're locking that door. If I want to open that door, what do I have to do first? What's the number one thing I got to nail down? What do I have to do? I have to have faith, don't I? Well, how does faith come? Romans 10, 17, hearing the Word of God. You're hearing the Word of God tonight, so it's going to build your faith up. But you've got to make a decision. See, a lot of us, someone says, well, wait a minute, aren't I lying? If it is hard for me to hear God's voice, if I have a hard time figuring out what God wants me to do, if I say that I can, or if I say that, yeah, I hear God's voice, aren't I lying? No, you're operating by a spiritual principle, which is getting in faith and believing God. See, you don't have feelings first, then faith. You have faith first, and then your feelings will follow afterwards. You see that? See, the problem a lot of us run into is we wait until it happens, or we wait until we feel it, or we wait until something happens, and then we believe. Instead of hearing the Word, believing, and then our believing opens the door for that whatever we're believing for to come through. So if I believe, I can hear God's voice. I'm a sheep. I know the voice of my shepherd. The voice of a stranger I will not follow. God loves talking to me. God talks to me all the time. I'm really good at hearing God's voice. Because I speak that just based on what God's word says. That opens the door. And hearing God's voice more and more and stronger comes into my life. Come on, man. Go grab a seat. Come on, give him a hand tonight. Now, do you see that? Do you see that tonight? See, so the first thing we're going to have to understand is we've got to get off this feeling thing. Like, we're looking for some big, crazy experience, and then I'll know God spoke to me. No, that's not the way it's going to happen. It's going to happen when we take God at His Word, and we say, God, You said You would speak to me. God, You said that You wanted to know me, and so I believe that, and I receive that, whether I feel it or not. Do you see that tonight? You get that? I mean, you got to believe it. So if you want, how many people tonight want to become more skilled at receiving communication from God? What about the rest of you? What are you here for? See, if you want to become more skilled at receiving communication from God, the first thing you got to do, you got to get in faith. You got to believe that God wants to talk to you. You got to believe that you can hear His voice. I mean, we talk about faith versus feelings. You've got to believe. Everybody say, you've got to believe it. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 8. Just look at a couple scriptures on this. Hebrews 11, I apologize, 8, verse 11. I got it backwards. We were there before. Let's just re-reference that. God said, they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord. But all will know me from the least to the greatest of them. So how many of you can see in that scripture, God wants all of us to know Him? I'll try this side. How many know from that scripture, God wants all of us to know Him? He does, doesn't he? He wants all of us to know him. So if he wants all of us to know him, does it not make sense that he wants to speak to all of us? Is that a fair assumption to make? Is that proper to draw that out of that scripture? See, always, if God wants you to know him, then he wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to show you things. He wants to teach you things. He wants to help you understand stuff. Let's look at another scripture. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. See, when we look at Genesis, we've got to understand that the first couple chapters of Genesis up until sin, it's an important passage God put in there for a very important reason, because it shows the state he originally created human beings in. And it shows us what his desire was in different pictures. It shows us what his desire was for a relationship between him and them. Then sin came into the picture and messed everything up. And then the whole Bible's about Jesus coming to return us to the place of authority and the place of relationship that man was in the Garden of Eden. So let's see what happened in the garden. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and let's go in verse 16. The Lord God commanded man saying. So he commanded man saying. So he was talking to him, wasn't he? Wasn't he? We're going to catch on this for a second. If I ask you a question, it's rude not to answer. And so he said, he commanded him, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. From the day you shall eat it, you will surely die. Now how many see there that God spoke to man? How many you see there that God spoke to man? You see that? God spoke to man. And you notice that he spoke to him specifically? Adam didn't have kind of a feeling that maybe if we sort of touch the fruit of the garden that maybe we might have something bad happen to us? No, God was very specific, wasn't he? When God spoke to Noah about building the ark, he was specific, wasn't he? He was specific. Thankfully. Build a boat. You know, Noah builds a little dinghy, you know. I mean, it's just like, God was very specific. No one had ever built a boat like that. And they actually, when they were trying to build, like with the Titanic or large ships, they went to the Bible to figure out the dimensions for the proper size. Talk about people saying the Bible's out of date or whatever else. Scientists had to go to the Bible to get the dimensions so the boat would stay proper. And you know what else is amazing about the ark? I remember hearing about an engineering student, and they had this challenge, and there's this big kind of storm basin, and it make like a test, and so they, to make it like stormy seas, and they had to build a model boat that could not be capsized. So all these, they show up, and all these students, they have these crazy looking things, you know, wide pontoons or different things like that. And then one guy was a born again Christian, so he thought, well, God knows best, because he was putting humanity in a boat in a storm, the flood that flooded the whole earth. So I think he knows what he's doing. So he just went and copied exactly what the Bible said. And you know what he showed up with? He showed up with a square box. You know, we've all seen those pictures like in Sunday school with kind of the cross and then the down and then the little house on top and the giraffe sticking out and the elephant trunk sticking out the other side. You know, we've all seen that. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, you know, it's this long, this wide, this high with a little ventilation. And everyone was laughing at him. But you know what? He won. It was impossible to capsize the boat. It looked ugly. It wasn't pretty at all. But it was impossible to capsize it. Why? Because God had spoken exact directions to Noah. Now, how many know the Bible tells us what we need to know? It often doesn't give us all the details. Right? So God told Noah how to make this boat. But how many think he gave him a little more directions than we see in the boat? Well, let's turn there for a second. Let's go to, Genesis chapter... Now, I want you to see this thing. God shows up to this man, Noah, and says, I'm going to flood the earth. Noah says, what's a flood? He says, it's going to be totally covered by water. He says, I want you to build a boat. Noah says, what's a boat? And so God explains what a boat is. And so you know how long Noah spent building the ark? Estimated about 500 years. Now, this wasn't like a 3-week backyard project, you know what I'm saying? And this thing was big. So can you imagine Noah working away, 250 years in? Working away, working away, working away. And also, in there, Noah, what are you doing? I'm building an ark. Why are you building an ark? Because God told me to. Why did God tell you to build an ark? Because he said there's going to be a flood. Really? So let me get you. Hear this voice telling you it's going to rain, and we don't know exactly what rain is, and there's going to be water covering the entire earth that's never happened before. And so you're building this giant boat in your backyard, driving down all the real estate in our area because of this voice telling you to do this. Yeah? Can you imagine the ridicule he must have gone through for 500 years? 500 years. You said, how do you live that long? You lived that long. Believe me, in the Bible times, the people lived almost 1,000. He said, oh, that's impossible. Oh, stop it. Scientists still can't figure out why our bodies die. Our bodies are made to live forever. They regenerate themselves. You ever notice that? But something kicks in. They still don't know what it is that causes death. That's the power of sin. After Adam and Eve sinned, it hadn't kicked in as much, so people still lived 1,000 years, 800 years, 700 years. But after a while, God said, they're getting too wicked. I'm cutting this thing off at 120. So if Jesus doesn't come back, I'm going for 120. Strong 120. I'm not going to be on a walker for the last 40 years of my life, you know? Bless you, you know, that whatever else. So I was shocked. Hey, if Caleb and Joshua can take the promised land at age 80 and go kick giants' butts and stuff like that, I can do it too in Jesus' name. Amen? And so, so notice all this, but I want you to think something. How many of you know, do you notice like all the animals he brought on there? I never did find that passage, did I? All right, there, 13, 6 verse 13. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and you shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. Its height, 50 cubits. Sorry, it's 300 cubits, 50. A box. He said, make a window in the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top and set the door in the ark on the side of it. You make with lower, second, and third decks. So God's getting pretty specific here, isn't he? He said, behold, I'm bringing the food of the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh and breath, life, etc., etc., etc. So take your wife, your kids, and every living thing of all flesh. You shall bring two of every kind of the ark and keep them alive. They shall be male and female. So here we see the first recorded zoo. God said, now think about this. You have all these animals in this boat. How many know? And you're in there for like 40 days a night, it rained, and then it went on for more. And they had to eat. So they had to have storage for food. So they had to have it properly stored for the animals, for food. Now, how many of you know, when you eat, natural biological processes mean you have to do something else? Right? Oh, come on, don't lose me now. I mean, you see what I'm saying here. And so in other words, all these animals, so God would have had to set some form of ventilation in there. Can you imagine being locked in a wooden box with like elephants and lions and tigers and bears and everything else? And rhinoceroses and everything else? And I mean, you know, and they get some gas because it's kind of tippy on, I mean, you know, but God gave Noah specific directions. He gave him exact, but see, God wants to speak to us specifically. See, if God would talk to Noah, who wasn't even born again, how much more is he going to talk to you when you're his kid? How much more is he going to give you specific directions for everything that you need? Now let's go back to Genesis. See, right now we're just spending some time building your faith because I want you coming out and saying, you know what? God's talking to me. God's speaking to me. I've got this. I'm just listening. I'm just going to listen and obey and do whatever he says because God is speaking to me. Not just Pastor Brendan, not just somebody else, but God is speaking to me. Everybody say, God is speaking to me. Come on, now me and say, God is speaking to me. So he said that. Now listen. Verse 19 in Genesis chapter 2 again. He says, out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky. And he brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was his name. Now isn't, look at this. Look at what God did. How many know God could have named the animals? Right? Yeah, come on you guys at the back. God could have named the animals. But what did he choose to do? He brought them to man and wanted to see what man was going to call them. Isn't this neat? God even at the start sets up where he wants to work with people. He doesn't just want to do things for them, but he wants to work with them. And so God comes in. So how many know that they would have had to talk and they would have had to communicate? Amen? They would have had to talk to each other. They would have had to talk and discuss things. So we see at the start in the Garden of Eden, God regularly talked to people. He spoke to them. And it was plain and it was clear. It was not these weird out there kind of, ooh. You know what I mean? It was just, God said, what do you want to call this? Adam says, looks like a giraffe. Let's call it a giraffe. You know, giraffe. Okay, and so God says, okay, giraffe it is. What do you want to call this one? Anteater. Okay, that's an anteater. Okay, what do you want to call this one? Hippo. Are you sure? Hippo. Are you sure? Yes, hippo. Okay, it's hippo. And see, so it's just like, you can just see God interact. Well, see, that's the same thing you can have with God. You can be walking through the mall and you can learn to start just interacting with God. Now, I wouldn't recommend doing it too demonstratively. Now, you're walking through the mall. You know, it's just like, everybody's going to be like, ooh, call security, okay, you know. It's just like, but you know what, you can talk with God and you can discuss details, you can learn things, you can grow. That's God's will. And so he talked with them. Let's go to John chapter 10, 3 to 5. Since we're turning, I want you to say it again. God speaks to me. Come on, see all of you. God speaks to me. John chapter 10, we're going to go to verse 3 to 5. It says, to him the doorkeeper opens. Let's start verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow. So you see in this passage that Jesus is talking about a shepherd. He's talking about a shepherd who leads sheep. And he says, the shepherd's sheep know his voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. But they follow the voice of their shepherd. And then if we go to verse 11, you know what Jesus says? What's he say? He says, I am the good shepherd. In other words, Jesus is the shepherd. You and me are the sheep. And he said that my sheep know my voice. A voice of a stranger, they're not going to follow. So how many sheep do we have in here? That was good. Y'all beat me to the punch. So I just, all right, come on. Why all the sheep in here go, bah? Now, see, you're a sheep. He's a shepherd. So you know his voice. Wow. You know his voice. And the voice of a stranger, you will not follow. I want everyone to say, I'm a sheep. I know my shepherd's voice. Jesus is my shepherd. So I know his voice. I don't follow strangers' voices. I follow his voice because I hear it. Now see, what are we doing right now? What we're doing right now is we're building our faith, and by speaking, we're releasing our faith, and we're actually, that's why I'm getting you like, why do they keep getting us to talk all the time? I don't want to talk. I want to sit here and listen. I want to write, why do you just keep talk? It just gets me to, because when you talk, you're opening the door of faith. So I want you leaving this place, I want you to know what he's saying. I know the voice of my shepherd. God talks to me. Does God talk to you? God talks to me. God talks to you. God talks to me. Did you know that God talks to me? Like, just talk about it. Build your faith on it. See, because that's what opens the door. The problem with a lot of us is that we are waiting till he talks to us before we believe it. I just can't believe that God would talk to me. Well, he won't. Because you don't believe it. But tonight you're receiving the Word, and the Word is building your faith. And then if you make a decision to believe that God talks to me, then you open that door of faith and you will hear His voice. Let's say, I hear His voice. So we could go into Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, but we would see that God wants to talk to us. God wants to talk to you, and God wants to talk to me. Now, I don't think I'm going to be able to get through all this tonight, so we'll work through as much as I can get. We'll stop at a decent hour, and we'll pick up next week, I think. Depends. God might say to do something else. So if he says to do something else next week, we've got to do something else. But I won't leave you hanging. Now, tonight, I want you to get, if you've got notes, write this down. There are five ways that God speaks to us. Five main ways. Or that, and again, let me say, God communicates with us. I see, I keep going back and saying speak, but that tends to throw us, because as you see what happens, there's only one of these five where you might hear a voice. And that's not a way God likes to use. Okay, I want to say number one. Through His Word. So the first way that God speaks to us is through His Word, or through the Bible. That's why this book is so important. It's not just a religious book. It's not just a collection of poems and stories and nice thoughts. This is God's Word, or God speaking to you and me. To really bring it up today, this is like God's email. This is an email he sent to you. And when you read it, it's him talking to you. So you know when you read this thing, this is God, it's God speaking to you. You know, it might be a letter to the Ephesians or to the Philippians or to the Galatians, but you know what else? It's also a letter to Brendan. It's also a letter to Monica. It's also a letter to Chris. It's a letter to you if you receive it as such. That's the power of God's Word. So first thing, He speaks to us is through His Word. Now the second thing, I just want to give you all five, and then we'll just park and talk about them for a bit. The second one is through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. So the second way God speaks to you is through the inner witness or the Holy Spirit inside of you. Everyone say number three. Is everyone caught up yet? No. Inner witness of Holy Spirit. Just scratch it. All right, you cool? All right. Next one, number three. God speaks to us through others. Let's say through others. There are times where God will speak to us. Right now, God is speaking to you through me. Now, it's not because I'm so special or wonderful or important. I'm just smart enough to not say what I think and say what He thinks. And I've been smart enough to spend enough time learning how to listen to Him so He shows me what He wants me to say. So God will speak to you through others. Number four, what's it, number four? Through dreams, visions, and supernatural stuff. You can put stuff if you want to. If you want to figure out a nicer word, put a nicer word in there. I'll say stuff. So I want to say through dreams, visions, and supernatural stuff. All right, and finally, number five, He will sometimes speak to us as well through circumstances. I say circumstances. So how does God communicate with us? These are the five primary or main ways that God speaks to us. Now, just a quick plug for note-taking. If you're not taking notes tonight, how are you going to remember what I'm talking about on Tuesday? Good Lord, I have to go back to my notes on Tuesday to remember what I talked about. Seriously. I just want to put a plug in for note-taking, because when you take notes, then you can go back and study what God's spoken to you through the week. And you can get stuff in. And some of us, you know, feel note-taking is too much like school, or too much like this, or too much like that. If you don't take notes, you're going to miss most of what's coming out tonight. Hey, honestly, when push really comes to show, you know what that really says? It really says you don't care that much about what I'm talking about. I know some of you may not like that so much, but that's okay. I can handle it. I have broad shoulders. I just go listen to some Joyce and deal with rejections. Then I can go to Jack Frost to get some inner healing. Back to what I was saying. God's, these are the five main ways. Now, what was number one? And what was number two? Or in your spirit, yeah. Inner witness, Holy Spirit, I think someone said in your spirit. That's God. Now, I want you to catch those, because those two are the primary ways that God wants to speak to you. Everyone say, by the Word. And by the Holy Spirit. Those are the primary two ways He wants to talk to us. See, I've given you a list of five, because 3, 4, and 5 will all happen at different times. But the bread and butter, you know, the rice and peas, the staple, whatever, God wants to talk to you through His Word, and He wants to talk to you through the Holy Spirit. Now, number three was through others, number four was through dreams and visions and supernatural stuff, and number five was through circumstances. Now, how do most of us initially want God to talk to us? We want number three, number four, or number five. Number three, which one was, I forgot what number three was. That's why you gotta take notes. See, through others. God, it's just like, God, just send somebody to me and tell me what to do. I want to be sitting in service, have Pastor Brandon point me out and say, God says you're supposed to go to Concordia. And you go, yes, hallelujah, okay, thank you. I don't know, was there someone that they're like, oh no, Concordia, God just said that. I picked it out of the blue. God wants you to go to, Anyway, yeah, Lakehead. You can go join Tonka up in the north. Okay. So see, we want someone else to do our work for us. Now, when we first come to God, God will often speak to us more through others because we're learning and growing. But He wants to get us off the bottle. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the ultimate point. Do you want to place your life in my hands, hoping I'm hearing God well? Or somebody, do you want to trust somebody else with your life? Or do you want to learn to hear God for yourself? How much y'all want to hear God for myself? You know, I might have had a bad day. You know, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, something really bad happened. I don't know, think of something really bad that could happen. Not too bad. I just found out the girl I was in love with doesn't like me. Okay, so it's a bad day. That didn't really happen, don't worry about it. And so, see, I'm just joking a bit, but you don't want to always just depend on somebody else. Because you know what? Sometimes when people speak words of prophecy, they're wrong. Sometimes they miss God. But so many times we gravitate towards somebody else speaking into our life. Now, there's nothing wrong with people speaking into our lives. That happens. I'm not against that. But I'm saying that is not God's primary method of operation. His primary method of operation is to speak to you through His Word and through the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, there might be times where He'll speak to you through another person, just like I did tonight. But you know what you need to learn to do when someone else speaks to you? You need to learn to go back and check it according to number one, the Word, and number two, of what is God saying in my heart. Listen, I don't care how great someone looks. I don't care how many miracles. I don't care if they read your mail and tell you when you were born, the hospital you were born in, and they know all this stuff. Because many times someone, you know, flows prophetically, they'll just speak stuff and know stuff about us. And he said, now God says you're supposed to do this. You know what? If that, you know, prophecy and someone else speaking should be for confirmation, not for initial direction. Now what I mean by that is you immediately take it and you compare it to what has God been showing me. And if it's way out left field, then maybe you take some time and say, okay, am I missing? No, I'm not missing God. And so you can put it aside. If it doesn't speak to you, if it doesn't miss you, you see some terrible things happen. Like people get married because someone prophesied over them. They're supposed to be together. And they never even loved each other. It's happened. Akeisha, you're down Bible college. You know about that kind of stuff. Even worse, that, you know, the guy will come and prophesy that, you know, and listen, if someone comes up to you and says, God told me that you're supposed to be my wife, or God told you you're supposed to be my husband, you know what? Unless he spoke to you, you can just push that one right aside. Just like, well, I apologize, God did not speak to me about that. And don't ever do that to somebody. If God tells it to you, shut up and wait. And don't manipulate. And don't get your little edgewise words in there, and don't just pray over them and do all these other things and stuff like that. If God's spoken to you, then trust God to bring it to pass and just shut up and stay out of the way. Amen? Amen. You guys, just shut up and stay out of the way. I just was talking with a couple last night, and 10 years before he asked her out, God spoke to this woman that this man was going to be her husband. I said, I do not receive that anointing in Jesus' name. I'm not taking the 10 years away in anointing. But you know what? She didn't say anything to him. She just waited. And after 10 years even, God brought it to pass. She was laughing because she was telling us the story. And he set this whole thing up, gave this long letter. And so he finally said at the end, so I really just want to ask you, like, he set this whole thing up to enter into a courtship relationship with me. And to prayerfully consider entering into a courtship relationship with him. And she said, she was like, I don't even have to pray about it. And he said, he went, oh man, I just got rocked. Oh yeah. She's scared. She's like, God told me 10 years ago that you were going to be my husband. Oh, and she's like that. Well, God worked it out. But see, it's good when God speaks to us through other people, but we can't learn to rely on that or depend on that. It will happen, but yeah, oops. You can't have, but you gotta learn. Now, what was number four? Through dreams, visions, and supernatural occurrences. The reason we don't want to learn just to rely on these is that how many of you have ever had a dream that you thought might be from God? That's serious. You know, how many know it's kind of, it could be from God, or it could have just been bad pizza the night before? Yeah, no, it's like sometimes God will speak to you through a dream, and you know, like, this is God. Like, I remember, I know this is God's time. I was about 5 years old, and I remember I woke up just crying one night. My parents came running, what happened? I had this dream that me and Jesus were on a train, and we're going along one of these little trains. I guess I like trains or something. And there was this wolf that was trying to kill me. And so the wolf was coming to kill me and coming. I was terrified, and then Jesus protected me, and the wolf killed him instead. And I woke up just absolutely just in tears. You know, Jesus died for me, and... But you know what? From that point on, I believe at that point I was born again. Because God showed me in a way that I could understand as a 5-year-old what Jesus did for me. See, well, that happened through a dream. That happened through a dream. God will speak to us through dreams. But I've had some other dreams that definitely weren't God. And I think we can all say amen. You know what I mean? So see, if it's God, you'll know it. And it's just like you'll know. And if you're not sure, don't worry about it. You know, and stuff like that. See, so dreams and visions and supernatural occurrences. Because you know the Bible says the devil can appear to us as an angel of light. In other words, you could have an angel appear in your room, shining brightly and whatever else. And, you know, let me put it this way. I could go to bed tonight, wake up middle of the night, and boom, there's like this 20-foot angel crouched in my room. You know, just glowing everything like that and says, Jesus is not the way. Muhammad's the way. You could look pretty, look like an angel, etc. and stuff like that. And he could say whatever he wants to say. I don't care how great it looks. I don't care how supernatural it is. I just tell him, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Why? Because it doesn't line up with the Word, and also doesn't line up with what God has shown me in my heart. See, we can get deceived if we depend too much on other people and on dreams and visions, all these things. If they come and you know it's from God because God shows you, that's cool. But don't depend on those. Depend on number one and number two. They're your meat and potatoes, your bread and butter, your rice and peas, whatever. Number one and number two are what you need to get the job done with. What was the last one? Circumstances. Again. You know, how many of you ever prayed, God, if this is not from you, just don't let it happen? Wah, wah, wah. God, if this is the girl for you, let her like me. Well, no, she might just like you if you're cute. Like, you know, you can't just, you want to depend your entire life on whether a girl thinks you're cute or not? See, some of you guys go, you know, you want to put your entire spiritual life, like marriage, life, kids, etc., on God, if she thinks I'm cute, let her like, you know, if it's your will, let her like me. Here's the point. God will speak to you through circumstances, but again, you always have to compare the circumstances back to the Word and back to what God's saying in your spirit. I like the president of the Bible college I went to, David Younger. I like what he put best. He says, I don't ask God to open doors or close doors for me. He said, I ask God to tell me which door to go through, and I kick it down if I have to. If you know Pastor David, you know that's something he'd say. But see, listen, what if Moses had let circumstances tell him what God's will was? God said, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. He goes, okay, I guess it's not God's will. It's like, come on. He goes back a second time. God said, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. Okay, I guess not. Do you ever think about that? I mean, look at Jesus. Do you know there's a point in Jesus' ministry when everybody left except his 12 disciples and some of the others who followed him? He started talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, and he was speaking figuratively, but they thought he was talking like he's going to cut his arm off and give it to us. And so they're all like, woo, Jesus gone over the top, later, let's go, all right. And everybody left. But how many of you know, most of us sitting there, how many of you know if you came back next week and there's only 12 people left in church without limits? You think, Pastor Brandon screwed something up here, I don't know what he did. You can't just let circumstances, you've got to, sometimes circumstances will speak to you. I was trying to go be a youth pastor in Columbia, South Carolina. We had to get my entry visa. It just wasn't working. We finally came to the conclusion, me and the pastor said, you know what, it's not going through. We thought this was God, but it must not be because it's not happening. That was after prayer and time. But you know what? We both checked back in our spirits and said, yeah, that's right. How many are glad I didn't go? I'm glad I didn't go. I wouldn't be here. But see, so he will speak to you through circumstances. He'll speak to you through some of these different things. But you've got to learn that, number one, he's going to speak to you through his word. And number two, he's going to speak to you through the inner witness. Now, I want to try and bring this to a close here. I want to, probably next week, those of you who aren't here next week, you get the CD. I want to dig in more because we're going to talk some more. So we're going to get in the nuts and bolts of this thing. Because I'm going to break down for you how to know if God's talking to you. I'm going to break down how to understand what God's saying. I'm going to break down how you can figure out what's God and what is not God. But see, I just want to close tonight. We're going to bring this into just to finish off here. But I want you to understand, God wants to speak to you. And see, just you say, well, you're leaving me hanging here. I need something for this week. I mean, you've been telling us, listen, every time you open up this book, you can either read a story or you can have God speak to you, depending on your heart. You can either get some nice little knowledge or you can have God speak to you. It's up to you. And see, the second thing, well, you know what, let me just, I'm going to go on this more, but Romans 8:14-16, we'll finish here. I mean, I wish I could just preach for another hour, but I won't do that. Romans 8, 14 to 16. It says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirits that we are children of God, or witnesses with our spirits that we are children of God." That's what I mean when I said the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. That's the foundational scripture of that, Romans 8, 16. Now, how many of you here know that you're born again? How many of you know that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Now, I got a question for you. How do you know that? Come on, give me some proof here. No, come on, like seriously, how can you be so confident of that? How can you know that so, like, how can I know that so much? How can I know that so much that someone put a gun in my head and said, deny Jesus or else you die? I say, sorry, buddy, better pull the trigger. You know, actually, I'll probably try and do a Bruce Lee on him or something, see if I knock that gun out of there. And so I ain't going, I don't know about you. You might just be like, shoot me. I'll be like, you okay, all right, you know. I'll just be like, I need some David anointing right now, because you're Goliath and you're going down right now, buddy. Amen. Yeah, I don't know. We all Christians, we're like, oh, shoot me, just shoot me. I don't know. If they threw me to the lions, I'd see if I could get some Samson anointing. At least I'm going to try and rip a lion apart before it kills me. I mean, we're going to do something up in there. We're not just laying over and taking it. But see, how do you know? Why? Because the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. And you just know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you reach the point where you just know. You know beyond any shadow of a doubt. Now, did you get a big booming voice going, you're now going to heaven? Did that ever happen, Keisha? No? Well, you went to Brownsville. It might have been. You're like, anybody else here? That happened to you? Did you get some big booming voice? Okay, did you have someone prophesy over you saying, thus saith the Lord, thou art now going to heavenest? Or something like that, you know. Now, did you have like some supernatural occurrence? Maybe a hand appeared on the wall, like in Daniel, you know? You are going to heaven. No, you just knew. Did you have an angel appear to you saying, welcome, you're going to heaven, hey, ho, you know, like, no, it didn't happen. You just knew. Well, how do you know? One, I want to show this to you just to give you a little piece of it tonight before we go out. Why do you know? One, because God spoke to you through His Word. And second thing, because He spoke to you in your heart, so you know. You know, you know, you know. And you'd stake your life on it because you know. Well, see, the why, when you're trying to get God to speak to you on another topic, do you suddenly start looking for all this other stuff instead of going back to what worked? Find out what the Word says, and then just go after God, and you will know. See, a lot of times we get mixed up what God's saying to us and our own thoughts at first. In other words, many of you have thought, oh, that's just me. I was going home yesterday, and we passed this dude walking up the street. And I just knew I needed to go talk to him. And I pushed it aside because I got lots of work to do. I got to be faithful in the ministry, and you know. And I just knew I have to talk to this guy. So I said, okay, I knew enough to recognize, you know, God wants me to do that. So I went inside, grabbed a fire, and went back out. And I talked to him. We had an amazing conversation. So just keep him in prayer. His name is Anton, and he comes from a Christian family, and he doesn't, you know, and he just, I mean, if, it's not Anton. It's something like, Anton? Not our Anton. Another Anton. There's other Antons in the world. And see, but you know what? There wasn't this big booming voice in the back of the car, because Mom was riding with me and she'd know it too. It wasn't this voice in that car. Talk to that young man or else. No, it's just like a knowing. And see, many of us, God is already speaking to us, but we just didn't realize it was God. Let me show you one more thought on that, and just we're going to finish here. For all of you are being led by the Spirit of God. Now, when I say if I lead Monica somewhere, or if I led her somewhere, what kind of picture does that put in your mind? What kind of picture does it put in your mind?
Taking her by the hand and bringing her.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Is everyone, you see that? Kind of led? So is leading doing this? Monica, go there. That's not leading, is it? That's telling. Monica, I want you to do this and this and this and this. No. You see, leading is more like this. Take your hand and lead you. You want to get up? She doesn't want to get up. You want me to lead Joel? Okay, there you go. So we lead and we go this way. And then I say, okay, let's go this way. So we lead. And I say, okay, let's go this way. And then I lead her back to her seat, and I'm just like, oh, okay, and then we lead, and we go like this, and back into your seat, and stuff like that. But see, God leads us. You know what? In other words, a lot of times it's like, you know, I really sense like I'm supposed to go talk to that person. I just have this knowing that I need to give this money to this offering. I just have this, you know, sometimes someone's, you ever notice someone was just having a hardest day, and you just called them at just the right time? Because you just knew, like, you're in devotion, you just, I really got to call this person. Something, I've got to call this person. And it seems like the most natural thing in the world, doesn't it? Why? You're being, if you learn to be led by the Holy Spirit, He's not going to be this big booming voice saying, do this, do that, do this. It's going to be a sense, go this way. It's going to be a sense, do this. It's going to be a sense, go that way. And so, as you tell, I can keep going for a while here, but let's just close off on that tonight. One last thing. How many remember with, Samuel? You remember when Samuel was in the tabernacle as a young boy? And God spoke to Samuel? And man, I think he was right around your age, Tayshaun, just a little older. So no, God wants to talk to you too. And so you just keep listening, because God talked to Samuel, God will talk to you. And see, so God talks to him, and who did he think it was? I don't have time to turn you there, because he thought it was the priest. So he ran into the priest. The priest said, I didn't call you, go back to bed. So he went back. He heard the voice again. He ran into the priest. The priest said, I didn't call you, go back to bed. So he goes in the third time, because he heard the voice again. The priest said, priest finally clicks in, goes, you know what, maybe it's God. He says, next time you hear that voice, just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You know what? God's voice sounded very natural to him. It wasn't this big, deep, booming, whatever else. It was a voice that was so normal that he thought it was the priest. And I would suggest to you tonight that God is speaking to a lot of you. He wants to, but you are missing it because it's too normal. It's too normal. So here's what I want to encourage you this week. Start opening the door of faith, and you will be amazed at how much God starts speaking stuff to you, and you start realizing that's God, that's God, that's God, that's God. And one last thought, if He asks you to do something, obey. If you don't obey, He'll stop talking until you do. Let's bow our heads.